Good morning. Let's get out our Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 2 as we continue our study through this book of Acts. And what we see here is how the church is supposed to act. We see a properly, powerfully functioning church. Last time we left off and we see that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. And of course, we saw the response of the crowd when these people in their languages of these that were gathered there, various languages they were speaking in, and they were talking about the mighty works of God. And of course, the result is some were amazed at what was going on. Others, you know, perplexed by what was going on. And then some mocked. Whenever God's doing a work, you have people that are amazed at what God's doing. You'll have people that are confused by it, perplexed by it. And you'll have those that are mocking around you. So if God's doing a work in your life and using you in any capacity, you're going to have all those responses. You're going to have people. That's why the Bible says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus not might suffer, but shall suffer persecution. You've been given a hard time lately? Guess what? You know, it's probably evidence that you're doing what God has called you to do. And so we see the church here in that place and people harassing, some amazed, some confused by it. And then it was into that moment where this group was filled with the Holy Spirit now, going forth in power, that Peter stands up. We have there in verse 14 of chapter 2, and he stands up with the 11 and he raises up his voice and says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so Peter here now takes full advantage of this moment and he preaches, I've titled my study, "A Powerful Message." A powerful message, a very impactful message to this group of people who are asking the question as to what's going on. I wonder, as a church, as a Christian, do people ever ask you, "So what's going on with you? So why are you so happy? So why you have such peace? So why do you live the way that you live, a holy life? Why are you talking about Jesus? What's going on?" Hey, when they do that, what's your response? You see, again, we are saved to serve. We are blessed to be a blessing. And we need, as Christians, yes, I have talked about and we have been looking at these past weeks, we need to read the Word. We need to pray together. We need to be involved in ministry and the church body. We need to grow up and be mature spiritually and serve others. But we also need to actively look for opportunities to share the gospel. And I guess that's what I love about Peter here. I mean, this guy, he senses the response of the crowd to the filling of the Spirit there in the church. And he sees people responding in various ways. And he happens to hear one of the accusations. They're all drunk. And instead of being quiet, says, "Hang on. You guys think these guys are drunk? Let me tell you what's going down here." I wonder if we're that bold when the opportunity presents itself. You see, a lot of times, Christian, we stress in the church the importance of Bible study and prayer. And of course, those are things we do to grow. And those are important things. But do you know that it's possible for us to, well, do what we do many times physically? What's that? Well, become unhealthy. How's that happen? Well, you sit down and you eat breakfast. Okay? Then you get up from breakfast and you sit down and watch TV or sit down at the desk. And then you go eat lunch. You get up and go eat lunch. And then you go sit down and you go back to the desk, or you sit down and watch TV. And then you get up to eat dinner. And then you sit down. Are you getting the point? Like, you eat and sit and eat and sit and you do nothing. And guess what happens? Before long, if that's your routine, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be unhealthy. You see, if you're going to take in calories, you've got to use calories. You've got to exercise. You know what? If you don't, you're going to be unhealthy. And the same is true spiritually. You take in Bible study after Bible study, and we are privileged to live in a country where, guess what, man? You people, we can sit, all of us, and we can pop on the computer, we can get a podcast of a Bible study of, you know, Greg Laurie or Chuck Smith or John MacArthur or Alistair Begg and Chuck Swindoll, and we got some of these great Bible expositors. And man, we sit and we can listen to this Bible study after that Bible study after that Bible study. And I'm not saying that's bad. Take in, take in, take in. But guess what you need to do? You need to give up, man. You need to exercise. Like I said, when God blesses you and speaks to you, He blesses you for the purpose of you reaching out to and being a blessing to others. Input, you see, and taking in without output can be hazardous to our spiritual health. And listen, either we have an outflow or we are going to be spiritually sick, getting indigestion, burping and complaining and a little gassy. Spiritually, you're gassy and make a bunch of rumblings and noise, but nothing with clarity, and you're kind of cranky. That's what happens spiritually to people. I've seen it. Listen, either we evangelize exercising or we fossilize. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 13, 12, "For whoever has," or passing it on, is passing it on, "to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have," in other words, the one who is not passing it on, "even what he has will be taken away from him." Do you hear that principle? If God is giving to you and feeding you and blessing you, he's doing it for the purpose of you passing it on. And if you're not passing it on, guess what? What you have is going to be taken away. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters," listen, "will also be watered himself." Hey, I wonder, have you had a case of being spiritually dry recently? Kind of feeling, well, I'm a Christian, but you know what? There's this kind of dryness, and you feel a lack of passion. You feel maybe like, well, I'm just going through the motions. You know what the key is you need to start getting busy then. You need to do something with what God has given you. You know what I've found many times, and there are times where, yes, even as a pastor, I go, oh, I don't want to talk to one more person. Not you, of course, not any of you, but I've sat here on a Wednesday night after service, had a rough day, kind of not a good night's sleep, maybe not feeling so well, and I'm sitting down there, and you know what? I've talked to several people, and there's still a couple people that want to talk, and then I'm finally done, and I go, okay, it's time to leave. And one more person comes down, and I go, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" And I'm going, oh. And you know what? It's not a lack of desire. It's just, I'm tired. And I go, Lord, I don't want to talk to one more person, but God, you know what? You put them here and you brought them here. So I'm here to minister. God, help me do what I can't do. Give me the energy because I'm weary. And you know what? As I do what God's called me to do, you know what? I find that God gives me a fresh new energy. In fact, when I'm done sharing with that person, God meets me with the power not only to share with them, but with some reserves. And I go home and I can't even sleep. I'm so excited, you know. I'm going, okay, God, now I need to sleep, okay? Before, when I was sleepy, you gave me energy. Now I'm not sleepy anymore, so you need to give me sleep. But you know what? It's His energy. It's His work. And if we'll draw out of our souls to feed the hungry, Isaiah 56 says, and satisfy the afflicted soul. In other words, we'll draw out of ourselves. The idea there is, okay, the times where you don't have anything in and of yourself to give, if you'll just draw out to feed and to minister those that are hurting and struggling and are needy, then God will satisfy the afflicted soul. And He will take away the drought in your life, the dryness, the deadness. When's the last time you went outside of yourself? When's the last time you reached out to somebody? You see, I think that's important. We need that outflow to be coming from us. And as we do so, you see, as we give out, then God gives to us. He will meet our need. You see, there's a lot of times where there are people. When's the last time, I might ask, that you took a struggling Christian or a new believer under your wing and help them understand who Jesus is and encourage them and prayed with them and counseled them and worked with them to help them grow in the Lord? I think that's so healthy to do. And we're going to have an opportunity because the Harvest Crusade is coming up here next weekend. And we're going to have a lot of people receive Christ. And we always have a lot of cards up in this area of new believers or people that have come back to the Lord after being gone for a while who are going to need some help and some encouragement. And you know, the great thing about doing that, when you reach out to do it, yeah, it's a sacrifice. Yeah, it's not always easy. But listen, when you're doing that, not only are you saving a sinner, you're saving yourself from stagnating spiritually. And you need that. James chapter 5, verse 19, James says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. I don't know about you, but maybe one of the reasons I preach is because I realize what a sinner I am. And I take this commandment to heart. Not only will I see them saved, but I'll cover a multitude of sins. I wonder, have you ever led anyone to Christ? Have you ever led anyone to Christ? Have you ever discipled anyone Christian? Have you ever really reached out to someone and taken that new believer and helped them along? I mean, listen, isn't it true? If we really believe what we claim to believe, how can we do otherwise? I mean, if there really is a heaven, and I believe there is, and there really is a hell, and I believe there is, if we really believe that the wages of sin are death, how can we be so kicked back when there are so many people around us that haven't heard the message? How can we be so complacent? Salvation is something that we ought to be engaged in actively, reaching out, letting them sense Jesus and see Him personally. And it begins in our own homes, with our children, with our family members, with our co-workers, with our friends. Listen, if you're going to be doing what God calls you to do, if we are going to be engaged as a church with purpose and power, you see, in this world in which we're living, we've got to share the gospel. Amen. We've got to bring others into the kingdom of God. You might say, well, Dennis, I've tried and I've failed. Well, maybe the reason that you failed is because you're missing some of the basics that you need to know. Key ingredients in your presentation, maybe, of the gospel. You see, it may be that you're like a baker who is trying to bake a chocolate cake, but forgetting the sugar. Now, let me tell you, as an ex-baker, if you bake a cake and you get the chocolate in it and you get the flour in it, but you don't get the sugar in it, it's not going to be a chocolate cake. If you're trying to bake it and you get the flour and the sugar in it, but you don't have the chocolate, it's not going to be a chocolate cake. You see, you got to have all the necessary ingredients. Now the question, what are the key ingredients needed for us to do what Jesus has called us to do here in sharing the gospel? Well, they're found in this first function of a spirit-filled church member before us here by the name of Peter. The Spirit sets the church in motion. And what's the first thing that is done? He preaches the gospel. He stands up and gives a sermon. And because of this sermon, hey, this sermon is a great sermon. Why? Because of the place it occupies in the history of redemption. I mean, really, it's the first function that is going on in the church. That's why today a lot of people say, well, you know what? The church, what we need is more group studies, more discussion groups. We need more, you know, bonding in that way. And we need a little more counseling and psychology. And no, no, no. That's not the function of the church. Certainly, hey, group studies, not a bad thing. Getting together for fellowship, a wonderful thing. But listen, nothing should take prominence, nothing should take preeminence over the preaching of God's word. And the way I know that is because the Spirit-filled church, where'd they start? What happened? What's the first function? Preaching the word. Peter began to preach. I believe that's what God has called me to do here. Every week in and week out, man, my function, my first function, yes, I counsel, yes, I pray with people, yeah, I love to connect with people, but my time and my first function is that of preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, because that's what you need to know more than anything else. That's what we are to be engaged in here, to preach the gospel, you see. And listen, this preaching brought a tremendous response. 3,000 people. This sermon, a model for effective evangelism. And so Peter starts off here and he's preaching and he's really reciting. When they ask what was going on, he's saying, hey guys, this that is going on here today, it's prophecy being fulfilled. And we talked about that last time together. And he says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 22, he says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth,